All right, let's dive into a case that really shook things up in the corporate world. Paramount v. QVC. We're talking high-stakes bidding wars, boardroom drama, and a legal decision that set a major precedent.
It's a case that goes way beyond just the legal stuff, you know. It gets into corporate strategy, the role of the board, and what it really means to act in the best interests of those shareholders.
So let's rewind to the beginning. Paramount, the entertainment giant, they decide to merge with Viacom. Seemed like a pretty straightforward deal. They even had those safeguards in place, like that no shop clause, right, to stop Paramount from looking for other offers.
Right, right. And don't forget that massive termination fee, $100 million, payable to Viacom if the deal went south. Plus, Viacom got a stock option to buy, like, almost 20% of Paramount.
Oh, yeah, those were some pretty strategic moves. Made it hard for anyone else to jump in, huh? But then, out of nowhere,
QVC
crashes the party. They make a surprise bid for Paramount and their offer. Higher per share than Viacom's.
Bidding war.
Total bidding war. Viacom ups their offer. QVC counters. Must have been intense in that boardroom.
Oh, for sure. It's like a Wall Street thriller, right? And here's where it gets really interesting, legally and ethically. Even though QVC is offering more, Paramount's board, they stick with Viacom. Their reasoning.
Strategic fit. Sounded good on paper, but
yeah.
Didn't really buy it.
The shareholders sure didn't. They filed a lawsuit alleging that the board had basically, well, chosen their own vision over the people they were supposed to represent, the shareholders.
So this case, at its core, it's about that fiduciary duty, that legal obligation of the directors to act in the best interests of the shareholders.
You got it. And this is where the Revlon doctrine comes in. Basically, it says when a company's up for sale, the board's main job changes. They become like auctioneers, got to get the highest price possible for the shareholders. Think about it like selling your house. You wouldn't just take the first offer, would you?
Makes sense. But in this case, it seemed like the board was playing favorites with Viacom. Didn't they have to at least really consider QVC's offer, especially since it was higher?
Absolutely. And that's exactly what the court decided. They said the board hadn't lived up to their fiduciary duty and that no shop clause, the giant termination fee, that stock option that had, by the way, ballooned to almost $500 million.
Because of QVC's higher bid.
Right. It all started to look less like protection and more like roadblocks to keep anyone else away.
So how did the court justify their decision? What exactly did the board do wrong? So how did the court justify their decision? What exactly did the board do wrong?
Well, the court was pretty clear about their reasoning. They pointed out like three big problems with what the Paramount board did.
Okay, lay it on me.
First, they found some serious issues with like their whole decision-making process. You know, the board was so focused on that strategic fit idea with Viacom that they didn't really give QVC's offer a fair shot.
So they let their own preferences kind of get in the way.
Exactly. And that brings us to the second problem. Those defensive measures. Remember that no shop clause in the massive stock option we talked about?
Yeah.
The court called them draconian, like way too harsh and restrictive.
So instead of protecting the shareholders, those measures were more like keeping anyone else away from Viacom.
Perfect analogy. The court saw those measures as like an unfair advantage for Viacom, making it almost impossible for another company to compete, even if they offered more money.
And to make things worse, that stock option was now worth almost $500 million because of QVC's higher bid.
Right. It's like they accidentally trapped themselves. And the board tried to argue that their agreement with Viacom kind of forced their hand, you know, that they were stuck with that merger because of the contract.
But the court basically said, nope, your duty to the shareholders comes first, no matter what the contract says.
Exactly. That's a key takeaway here. Fiduciary duty trumps any contract. Think about it this way. You're selling your house, and you have a verbal agreement with one buyer. Then someone else comes along and offers way more. You gonna stick with the first guy just because you shook on it? No way.
Right. You gotta get the best deal you can.
Exactly. And the court basically told the Paramount board, you can have your vision for the company, but you can't prioritize that over getting the best value for the shareholders.
Nicely put.
Yeah.
So Paramount v. QVC. It didn't just decide that one case. It created a two-part test that's used anytime a board's actions in a sale are questioned.
You got it. Two-part test.
All right. Break it down for us. What are the two parts?
Okay. So the first part is all about the board's process. Did they act reasonably? Did they, you know, look at all the options, get all the info they needed, and make a decision that was really focused on getting the most value for the shareholders? Or were they letting personal stuff get in the way?
Sounds like a high bar to clear.
It is. The court wanted to make sure that boards couldn't just, like, pretend to care about the shareholders while doing their own thing. And the second part of the test is whether the board's actions were justified given the situation. So, like, were those defensive measures, like the no-shop clause or the stock option, proportionate to the threat? Or were they over the top, designed to give an unfair advantage to a specific bidder?
So basically, boards, you better have a good reason for what you do. You got to prove you were looking out for the shareholders. No more hiding behind fancy words like strategic fit or long-term vision.
Exactly. This case was like a wake-up call for boards. They're accountable for their decisions, and they can't just do whatever they want. And the impact of this case is still huge today. Paramount v. QVC gets cited all the time in these kinds of cases. It's like this ghost that hangs over every boardroom, reminding everyone that shareholder value is king.
It's like the court gave shareholders a weapon, right? A legal precedent they can use to hold boards accountable. But beyond the legal stuff, what are some of the bigger lessons we can learn from Paramount v. QVC? What does it tell us about what a board should be doing, about good corporate governance? It's like the court gave shareholders a weapon, right? A legal precedent they can use to hold boards accountable. But beyond the legal stuff, what are some of the bigger lessons we can learn from Paramount v. QVC? What does it tell us about what a board should be doing, about good corporate governance?
Yeah, it's a great point. Paramount v. QVC really shows us how much responsibility a board of directors has. They're the ones making these huge decisions, decisions that affect everyone, not just the shareholders, but employees too, the company's reputation, even the economy as a whole, you could argue.
So it's not just about, you know, following the law, it's about ethics too.
Exactly. This case really highlights how important good corporate governance is. You need a board that's independent, that knows what's going on, and isn't afraid to challenge the status quo, to ask those tough questions. If a board is just focused on their own interests or stuck in the past or just listening to themselves, well, they're not doing anyone any favors.
Kind of like that saying, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, maybe not that extreme, but it's definitely risky when a small group has all the power and no one's checking them. That's why we have these legal safeguards like fiduciary duties and the courts being able to review decisions. It's a way to keep that power in check, to make sure people in charge are held accountable.
To keep them on the straight and narrow.
Right. And Paramount v. QVC shows us that no one is above the law, not even a board of directors. They have to act with integrity, be transparent, and really put those shareholders first.
It's a pretty powerful lesson, and it goes way beyond just corporations. Integrity and accountability are important anywhere you have power.
Couldn't agree more. In the end, doing the right thing is always the best way to go, even when it's hard. And Paramount v. QVC proves that.
Well said. Well, I think that about wraps up our deep dive into this case. It's a wild story with all the legal drama and ethical questions, and it's still shaping corporate law today.
For sure. It's a case that every lawyer, every law student, anyone who's interested in business, they should know this case. It teaches you so much about corporate governance, fiduciary duty, and how power works in the business world.
And for our listeners who want to know more about how these principles from Paramount v. QVC have played out in other big cases, well, stay tuned. In future episodes, we're going to explore how this decision has influenced everything, from shareholder activism to corporate social responsibility. We'll see how its legacy is still shaping the corporate world, impacting what boards decide, shareholder rights, that whole balance between profit and doing the right thing.
Lots more to unpack, so we hope you'll join us for those deep dives too.
Thanks for joining us on this journey into the world of corporate law. Until next time, keep those legal minds sharp, and remember, when it comes to fiduciary duty, the stakes are always high.